I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Championship Roundtable. I'm your host, Jake Jackman, and you can reach us at the podcast by emailing us championshiproundtable@gmail.com.
Hi everyone, my name's Thomas and I run wolvesblog.com. So unsurprisingly, I'm a fan of Wolverhampton Wanderers, and at the moment I'm still coming down from what was a brilliant day yesterday.
Hi, I'm Kevin, editor of League United Mad. Twitter's account is League United_Mad. Quite the opposite to Thomas really today. Fairly gutted that we've been knocked out by a non-league team in the FA Cup. But looking at the league, we're doing okay, and if we bounce back with good results against Blackburn and Huddersfield in the next two games, I don't think anybody's going to be too bothered about today's events.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We'll start off making the rounds where we'll have a few minutes to discuss what's been happening at our club this week. We'll start with you, Thomas, where obviously yesterday was such a great day to be a Wolves fan. You took the lead in the opening seconds, and you know, went on to win 2-1 against Liverpool despite having a small amount of the ball, and knocked out, you know, one of the top six clubs in the Premier League. How did you see it for as a Wolves fan?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, I was one of the lucky people to get a ticket for the game, for starters, because there was a lot of kerfuffle. We had 8,500 tickets and probably could have sold out a couple of times over easily. And I think I actually saw that there was an opportunity for an upset before kickoff, because, you know, I knew Liverpool wouldn't play their best team. I know Wolves have been particularly good away from home pretty much all season. It's been our home form that's held us back. And after we beat Stoke in the previous round, I just thought if Liverpool don't turn up, don't play anything like close to their best, and we've got a really, really good chance here, backed by such a massive away following. And I was just surprised that Jurgen Klopp didn't see on the horizon the problem we might cause to them. I think he underestimated us, and that ultimately was their undoing, because the team he put out just wasn't really ever going to be good enough, I don't think. I think obviously we got quite lucky in the sense that we got an early opportunity to put the ball into their box. They've got a questionable first choice defence at times, so their second string defence was always going to be susceptible to that kind of lax in concentration, and so it proved. And then after we went a goal up, it was quite predictable. They were always going to press and have a lot of the ball, and it was just going to be about how well we could defend our 18-yard box. And then if the opportunity presented itself to break, would we take those chances? And we did. So it was perfect game plan. And before they got their goal back with 5 minutes to go, I was actually thinking, we're pretty comfortable here. Didn't see them actually making a game of it. And it was panic stations after that. And you're just worried that you know, the cop is going to suck the ball into the net in those dying seconds when they're putting a bit of pressure on. But overall, it was a really great performance from Wolves. For everything Liverpool lacked, Wolves really played to their maximum, and they needed to still to get that done, get it over the line. So yeah, just a fantastic day, fantastic occasion. And you know, we haven't been past the third round for like 7 years or something stupid like that, so you can imagine that this is long overdue. And I think like both you guys have kind of already said that, you know, the FA Cup isn't that important to Newcastle and Leeds right now, but I think for Wolves it's a cup run is overdue. And that kind of victory yesterday is vindication for why the competition still exists.
Yeah, you said there that it's quite important for Leeds, for Wolves, this season, the FA Cup. And I guess I'd agree with that, because my thoughts on the game were that, you know, Wolves, they're solid in the Championship. I don't think they're going to go down. They're not going to get into the playoffs either. So the FA Cup is a real good opportunity for your players to achieve something, even if it is to, you know, get into the semi-final at Wembley maybe. I mean, we've seen a lot of Premier League clubs go out. That's not out of the question, especially as you've put two of them out yourselves. Do you think that that's something that, you know, would mark a successful season, mid-table in the league in a cup run, maybe to the semi-finals or quarter-finals?
I don't think if you'd said this at the start of the season, most people would have said that. But I think given how it's panned out now, where, like you say, we're in a little bit of purgatory in the Championship, I don't think we're going to go down. I think we're playing too well. Points-wise, we still not out of the question that we could get dragged back down, but I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, I think now what constitutes success is just doing probably a top half finish in the Championship. And then, yeah, depending on how the draw pans out for the next round, hopefully progressing to the quarterfinals and seeing where that can take us. But yeah, I think success would have been realistically to get in the top six, but then most Championship teams would probably have said that before the start of the season. But I have long said, I think I said this earlier in the season to you, Jake, when we played Newcastle in the Cup, the League Cup, that is. You know, I wanted a cup run. I would take a cup run over a run at the playoffs, just because I think when you're a football fan, it's moments like yesterday that make it worthwhile. So I think more of those moments are preferable to, you know, maybe getting in the playoffs, maybe getting in the Premier League, and then trying to eke out an existence staying in the Premier League. I just think there's more to being a football fan than that. So, yeah, still a fan of the FA Cup.
Yeah, there's some interesting comments there. We'll come more onto the FA Cup later. I think we've got some views on that about how Newcastle and Leeds have treated the competition as well. And it'll be interesting to see how they differ. But we'll just move on to you now, Vin, and Leeds. You've had two games this week. One went very well. One didn't go quite so well. If you want to talk us through both games and what your thoughts are on Leeds at the moment.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm very pleased how things are going overall in the league. To say that we've hardly spent any money on the squad this season, just about $3 million, which I think includes add-ons for Kemar Roof. Antonsson came from Sweden for about $1 million or so. So we haven't spent a fortune on the playing team. So that makes our achievement getting into the player positions, I think, even better, really, because I think Gary Monk has really done a fantastic job since he came to the club, supported by Pep Clotet and James Beattie, great backroom team as well. Obviously, we came a cropper last Saturday against Barnsley, who, you know, they had, if you saw the two second-half goals they scored, they were absolutely fantastic goals. And you don't see those very often in Championship football. Ryan Kent was on loan from Liverpool, I believe. Maybe he should have been playing yesterday for Liverpool as well, because he had a decent game. He's got a cracking second goal for Barnsley, and Conor Hourihan sort of rounded it off with a magnificent free kick. And obviously he's moved on to Aston Villa now. So it makes you wonder if Barnsley were really fired up by the game, really, because they knew that a couple of their key players were going to be leaving over the next sort of few days, which obviously with James Bree moving on to Villa as well, and a couple of guys asking for transfers, it makes their victory even better, really, over us. And I don't think we were ever really in the game, even though we went 1-0 up. Usually when we go 1-0 up, especially from away from home, we usually control the game. But they scored at a crucial period just before half-time, which brought them right back into the game. And we lost it, basically, in the 10 minutes in the second half, even though we got a dubious penalty to sort of get us back into the game. So when we moved on to Forest on Wednesday, I think there were a bit of trepidation there as well, because even though Forest haven't been playing that well, they've got a new coach in Gary Brazil, who's holding the fort at the moment, and he got a good result at the weekend, and he was going into the Leeds game full of confidence, really. But we once again, Chris Wood came up trumps, getting his 20th goal of the season, which is a magnificent achievement. And obviously, I don't know if you guys saw the Dukara goal, but it was absolutely a world-class goal from just outside the box. Usually those sort of efforts go into row Z of the cop, but it was just arrowed right into the corner, and it was absolutely magnificent. I think it's going to be a goal of the season. It's going to win a few awards anyway, especially at Leeds United. And that sort of killed the game off, basically, from there. So, one, like you say, one bad result, one good result. But overall, the last sort of 20 games or so, we've hardly lost the game, really. We've lost, obviously, to Brighton, Newcastle, now Barnsley over the last few weeks. But we're sort of going into the last 18 games now full of confidence. And I think with him picking that team today, I think it was a little pointer to the owners that after losing Alex Mowat to Barnsley just before the weekend, I think Monk is saying, you know, come on, I need players in, not players out. And I think it's going to be a crucial period now up to Tuesday, Wednesday, who actually comes in, because we still need a striker to support Chris Wood, because if he gets injured or gets suspensions, then we're going to be stuck for goals a little bit. And if Janssen or Bartley get injured, we're going to be stuck for a centre-back as well. So I think a centre-back and a striker is crucial for us to go into the last 18 games with some confidence, because usually when we lose a game like we did at Barnes, we usually go on a good run of 7 or 8 games unbeaten. So I'm looking for that again now against Blackburn on Wednesday and Huddersfield next week. It's going to be a crucial period in the season to see what happens over the next few days.
I just want to ask you quickly a question on automatic promotion, because there's a lot of concern among Newcastle fans that maybe we should be focusing on the teams below us instead of Brighton. And as long as that gap stays quite large, then we're doing okay. Do you think that automatic promotion is a possibility for Leeds at all? Or do you think you're focusing more on the playoffs?
Well, there's still plenty of points to aim for, Jake. You've got to be confident and say if Brighton or Newcastle do have a dip in form, in Brighton have known to do this during the season. I mean, they did it over Christmas last year, which sort of stopped any chances of their automatic sort of promotion. So it depends really if both teams go on a dip, but you just can't see that happening at the moment. But never say never, you know, in this league. It's a strange old league, you know, where things do happen. And until the gap is about 15, maybe 16 points, I think there's always a possibility that a team behind them could maybe catch one of them up. So never say never. I mean, but obviously I think if you'd have told us at the start of the season that we'd be in a good playoff position by May, I think most Leeds fans would have accepted that. But like I said before, if Newcastle or Brighton have some dip in form, which you can't see happening at the moment, but things like that do happen over a season when the pressure, you know, mounts up a little bit, and the chasing pack sort of, sometimes it's easy to chase a team than actually try and keep a lead from the other team. So yeah, never say never to that context, but obviously that depends really, again, who we get in now between now and Wednesday, if we do get a couple of decent players that could maybe help us do that. But watch this space, as they say.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, for Newcastle this week, it's not been a great one. We went out of the FA Cup yesterday to Oxford, lower league opposition, which I did say last week that the fact they were only one division below us did sort of limit the embarrassment that could have been had. But the fact it was 3-0 sort of did increase that embarrassment, at least on the day. But Benitez said afterwards that it wasn't that they didn't want to go through in the cup, but he said beforehand that if we're going to have a cup run, we're going to have to use the squad. We didn't have a choice in that. And that's what we did. We brought in a few of the younger players again who played against Birmingham, but it wasn't too weak a team. There's still a lot of first team players. You had Mitrovic, Perrin, Perez, Hayden, that they all started. Grant Hanley's very experienced in the lower league, so it wasn't by no means like the youth team, but there were a few youth players in it, and it was disappointing to lose the game. We weren't in the scoreline, maybe doesn't tell the true story of the game. I think Oxford deserved to go through absolutely, but I think 3-0 maybe shows the game is a bit more one-sided than it was. It was very even. I think both teams had the same amount of shots. Newcastle had a bit more possession. So it was just a classic cup tie where both teams were in it, and it was Oxford that took their chances and we didn't. I think our biggest chance came from the penalty. We got a penalty when it was 1-0. If we'd have scored that, then maybe we would have turned around and went through, but that wasn't the case. Mitrovic missed, and he missed a couple more chances during the game. So that was a little bit disappointing because he's a player that splits the fan base. Some think that he's not that good and should be moved on. And others quite like him for the reputation he has had in Europe with Anderlecht. We saw flashes of it in the Premier League. He scored a few goals this season, but he's not been a regular because of Dwight Gayle's form. So it'll be interesting to see how his sort of career at Newcastle develops after this, because I think he's got something to offer. But I also think he's not currently playing at the standard that we need him to be playing at. So it's a difficult one. But I'm not overly upset about going out of the cup. I mean, I would have loved to have gone for it, of course. Like Thomas said, it's a cup run. It's what you want as a football fan. But the main aim has to be promotion. And it's easy to say Rafa should have played a stronger team. But if he had played John DeShelby and Matt Ritchie in his one, and they would have both got injuries, then he would have been criticised. So sort of a damned if you do, a damned if you don't situation. He made a call, he was wrong, and we went out. He's only human, he does make some mistakes. He's not, you know, he's not going to get everything right. People are comparing it to Pardew. So if the difference is, you know, Rafa Benitez is not Alan Pardew. He's got a lot more credit in the bank, and, you know, we should just move on. We're not the only team doing this. I think the top four teams in the Championship, League One and League Two, have all gone out of the FA Cup. I think it's something like that. So it's not that great of a statistic, of course, because, you know, League One and League Two clubs aren't going to go too far, but it does show that teams do sacrifice the competition. I mean, Brighton did as well. Kevin said Leeds did play the youth team, so, you know, it's not only Newcastle. Our main aim does have to be promotion. If we do go up and get into the Premier League, then I think that's when we can start thinking about trying to win a cup, more so than this season. But yeah, it is disappointing, of course it was, but these things happen. It's just got to move on and try not to get too negative about things, because that's when things, you know, turn for your club if the fans turn. So I think it'll be all right. If we win on Wednesday against QPR, we'll forget about this and quickly focus back on promotion. But we'll just move into the topics for today now. You know, funnily enough, we've been talking about the FA Cup, and we'll start there. A lot of clubs play weakened teams. You've seen Tottenham struggle at home against Wickham. We've seen Liverpool go out. We've seen a lot of Premier League clubs go out today. Two non-league clubs making the last 16. So I just want to know what you think about the current, you know, format of the FA Cup. Do you still think that it's a magic competition, and you still think it's got a lot of magic in it? Or do you think maybe the format needs to be revamped now, you know, to make sure that clubs take it a little bit more seriously? We'll start with you, Thomas, because I'm sure you've got a few thoughts on this.
I don't think there necessarily need to be changes. I think what they need to do is find a way to incentivize more of the teams to take it more seriously. I think we should be more defensive over this competition domestically. I think fans of all the clubs should be wanting the FA Cup to be important. I don't think we just seem to have rolled over and accepted that the Premier League is the Holy Grail and everything else is secondary. And the reason for that is ultimately money. You know, the riches that you can get from being a Premier League club. So any team that's trying to stay in the Premier League will try and play a second string team in the FA Cup. Any team that's trying to win the Premier League is going to play a second string team. Any team in the Championship, and so on and so forth. You know, that. So what I think they should do with the FA Cup is stump up a massive prize money. I heard someone suggest this. Why not put £30 million into the kitty by the FA and say, okay, then the winner gets £30 million. I think then you would probably see a number of these teams taking it far more seriously, and not necessarily playing weakened teams. So I think that's ultimately the only way that you can address the problem, because no matter how you change the format of the competition, if you say, okay, we won't have replays, we won't play on a Saturday, or any of these other ideas, they're not going to change the fundamental issue that managers and owners of clubs, and it just stems from the top down, they're not going to take it seriously. So the only thing you can do if you want to revamp the competition and make it better is to incentivize more of the clubs to take it more seriously. So that's what I would do.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think a lot of the argument is, and I've seen a lot of journalists and people, former players talking about this, the League Cup is maybe a better competition to target now, purely because it's out of the way by February. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about it during the running, whereas the FA Cup runs until the end of the season. So that's maybe why the FA Cup's suffering a little bit more than the League Cup at the moment. But as a supporter, I know that disrespect does sort of come from the clubs, because I think every single fan would love to see their club go to Wembley, regardless of where they are in the league. I know Wigan did it and then went down, and I think Hull did the same, got to the FA Cup final and went down as well the season after. But just to see your club at Wembley, that is exactly what being a football fan is. You want to get them to get success, and I think success is different for different football clubs. Of course, maybe Arsenal and Liverpool don't see the FA Cup as that much of a competition. But to see Watford sort of going out of the cup today is a little bit disappointing, because I don't know what more Watford can really achieve. Like, the FA Cup should be their pinnacle. It's the Premier League clubs that disrespect that frustrate me more than the Championship clubs, like Newcastle and Brighton this weekend and Leeds. You know, that doesn't frustrate me as much, but I think it's those competition, the teams that should be targeting this competition in the Premier League that should pay it a little bit more respect. And I think increasing the money would absolutely do that. I wouldn't like to see them change the format. I think the FA Cup third round weekend is my favourite weekend of the footballing calendar. Every club from the Championship and the Premier League are in the competition. You've got a few non-league clubs. You've always got a chance of an upset. We saw a lot of them this weekend. They're great to watch if you're a neutral, not so much if you support the team that is on the receiving end of it. But, you know, the FA Cup is a great competition. I like how it is at the moment, but it does need... I think the only way you can improve it is to incentivize it. We spoke on an earlier edition of this podcast about the League Cup and how we could reform that. I mean, and we spoke about maybe combining the two cup competitions and having it over a year-long season, but I don't think that would maybe retain the magic of the FA Cup as much, because I think that third round weekend is such a huge weekend in the football calendar. I wouldn't like to see it change. So maybe money or a Champions League place even could be what is required to, you know, restore it to some sort of form of glory. I don't think we'll ever get back to what it was, but I think we can get it back to being a serious competition. What are your thoughts, Kevin? Do you have a sort of similar views on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered most things there, but yeah, I mean, the League Cup has been changed a few times, really, hasn't it? It's obviously games are resolved now over the evening, and there's no replays anymore. Maybe they could do that in the FA Cup, but then again, it might spoil an opportunity for a club to bring a replay back to a smaller club, and that's where they make the money. I mean, Sutton made a fortune out of today's game. They must have made about £300,000 to £500,000 just on that particular game. So that'll keep them going now for another, you know, few seasons. So money matters to these clubs, and I think it's important that the league teams do help these clubs as well, and not keep all the money, all the big money for themselves. I mean, I think with us today, if we'd have played yesterday, Saturday, I think he might have fielded a slightly stronger team. So I think, you know, the cup, the people in the FA and the league don't seem to communicate to me very well on when to organise games. They sort of leave it to the TV stations, which is quite dangerous, really. Because obviously we've got an important game Wednesday now, which is the reason why he fielded such a young team today, because to Gary Monk, getting into the playoffs or having a chance of getting promotion is the key aim this season. And even going to the playoff finals, the playoff final date is so close to the FA Cup date. You know, the chances are, if you reach the FA Cup, if we reach the FA Cup final, we might have fielded a weakened team there to make sure we have a strong team, you know, if we get to the playoff final. So, you know, it's, I think the governing boards of each organisation have got to speak to each other, maybe try and format some way of channeling the games and when they should be played, because nobody wants to lose the romance of the FA Cup. I mean, look at Wickham yesterday, so close to getting a replay, so close to winning the game at one stage. They deserved the replay at Wickham. That would have been a fantastic result, but obviously they lost it at the dying death. But that sort of game sort of sums up the FA Cup. You know, the team 72 places below the teams that are playing, giving them a good 90-minute game and, you know, holding their own. They might not do it consistently in the league, but they sort of pull themselves up and put in a decent performance for those 90 minutes. And that's what the FA Cup, you know, Lincoln's win over Brighton as well, another magnificent achievement by a non-league team. Two non-league teams in the fifth round for the first time ever, I think it is, which is an amazing achievement. But yeah, you don't want to lose the romance of the FA Cup by tweaking it too much. But I think the dates of the games have got to be either done on one particular day and not spread over the 4 days like they do now. Because if we played on Monday against Cambridge and we played Derby on Friday, so we were going to have two totally different teams for those two matches. And luckily, we managed to get through the Cambridge game and we managed to beat Derby as well. So that was a good week. But you're not going to do that all the time. And as it proved today, it was just maybe one game too much, really, for these kids that we're picking. Because Sutton obviously got through and deservedly they're in the fifth round. But I think you've got to look at, when do we play the games? Do we do it over the one particular Saturday so everybody's, you know, concentrating on the FA Cup for that particular day? But the TV company's been in charge of so many things these days, that's not going to happen, because everybody wants to show a particular team. Everybody wants a shock result. So they're going to be spread over certain days. But unless that happens, you're going to get a situation now where Newcastle, Brighton, Leeds, they're going to field weakened sides, which takes away the edge of the cup a little bit. But obviously it's to the benefit of the teams that have got through, and, you know, good luck to them in the next round.
Yeah, I think scheduling is a good point, because we've all got league games. The Premier League and the Championship have league games during this week, and maybe some clubs had one eye on that rather than the game on Saturday. And if there'd maybe been a week break between the game on this FA Cup fourth round and the next set of league games, we would have seen stronger teams and we would have seen different results. But there is an argument this weekend of the FA Cup, if anything, shows that the amount of magic that still exists in the competition. And it was actually a very good weekend for the competition because of the amount of upsets and the amount of intrigue that was sort of from neutrals to see, you know, to watch Sutton on TV and see them go through, and to watch Wickham come so close to getting a replay or knocking out the Spurs. You know, it could be argued that this weekend was an excellent one, and there's not really anything to worry about, because I'm sure Thomas doesn't feel it. You know, Wolves' victory at Anfield was cheapened by the fact that Liverpool had a few of their second string players, because they also had a lot of good players in the team. I mean, Firmino started, Wijnaldum started, you had Sturridge, Emre Can, and Coutinho all come on. So I don't feel like you, Thomas, you feel like it was cheapened somewhat by the team selection.
No, not at all, really. I think actually one thing that's worth saying is that Wolves made seven changes from their last league game themselves. But the key difference for Wolves is that they've got a squad of 25-odd players, and there's not a great deficit in ability between a lot of them. So Paul Lambert's able to change six or seven, and actually the team isn't drastically affected in terms of overall quality. But in general terms, yeah, Liverpool didn't... It's not cheapened, because it's Anfield, it's a big occasion. And whatever team they put out is realistically going to be a better 11 than what we can muster. So we're always still the underdogs, and we're always fighting against all that history and all that tradition at Anfield. So yeah, it didn't lose any of its luster. But I was happy personally. I didn't want to see Coutinho and Sturridge and Lallana and Maya, whoever might have been knocking around playing, because I wanted to get through. That's all I care about. But
Look at Southampton and Arsenal last night as well. It was the game of two weakened teams, really. Who had the best weakened side? And obviously, Southampton's compared to Arsenal, there's obviously no comparison, because they got done 5-0. So,
I get what you're saying, but I think that's quite... It's endemic, really, of the of cup culture, because Southampton, look at them, they got through in the League Cup 3 days ago, and they've obviously gone well. We're already at a final now, so we don't have to even make any kind of effort against Arsenal, thus making it basically a walkover for Arsenal. Because, I mean, Southampton know full well that the team they put out was never going to be able to give it Arsenal's reserves again. There was no possible chance of that. So my personal thought is, on the whole cup thing, is if you're going to do something drastic, why not just get rid of the League Cup? I just think the FA Cups are, you know, primary competition. If we're saying there's too many games, scheduling's an issue, then okay, let's do away with one. I don't think there's that same affinity towards the League Cup as there is the FA Cup. And, you know, they're more or less the same thing, aren't they, anyway? So why have two of them? I think that would solve a lot of the issues. And I don't think I would cry too many tears over losing the FA Cup. I mean, the League Cup, sorry. I mean, I don't know what you guys think about that as an idea.
No, I wouldn't mind that at all. I think that's maybe one thing that would help scheduling a little bit, get a few less games on the calendar and maybe allow teams to, because if there's only one cup competition, teams will be a lot more focused on that, I feel, than the League Cup. Because I was at the Southampton game yesterday, and I just want to quickly touch on the atmosphere, despite them losing 5-0, was rather incredible. And that's because they've got to a final. And this is literally what football fans want. And it just underlines the point of how frustrating it is that teams are throwing these competitions away, because, you know, Southampton may have lost yesterday, but they're still going to have a day out at Wembley, and they're probably going to have a great time, and they've got a chance of winning a cup. It's when you get to the latter stages of competition that you take it more seriously. It's the early stages that seem to be the problem. And I don't know what...
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the League Cup has reached its usage now, really. Because obviously only league teams can get involved in that, whereas the FA Cup, every single team in the country can get involved, which makes it more romantic and more exciting. And maybe, like you said earlier, maybe if they do add the carrot of a Champions League entry as well to the winners and just have the top three in the league, maybe that, you know, it's going to be a major competition again along with the league. Because nobody remembers... Well, you do remember, obviously. Everybody remembers finishing fourth in the league, but you're more likely to remember winning the actual FA Cup. Most fans get more excited by that than finishing fourth, 10, 12 years running, like Arsenal seem to do all the time. I mean, I'm sure most Arsenal fans would hope that, even though Wenger's won it a few times anyway, six times, they'd rather have that FA Cup trophy in the cabinet rather than finishing fourth in the... In the league, because if you still qualify for the Champions League, it's fantastic. But you've got a trophy to show for it as well. Nobody gets a trophy for finishing fourth. Obviously, there's the money that you get from the Champions League. But I think most fans would rather have a day out at Wembley and see them get the Champions League entry through winning the FA Cup. So, yeah, get rid of the League Cup and just concentrate on the FA Cup. So if anybody's listening to that, they get it sorted.
I think that they're all very good points that we've made, but sadly we don't have any power, and we'll just have to see what the FA do. I'm sure it'll be controlled by money, whatever it is, but hopefully the FA Cup does sort of remain a massive part of the footballing calendar, because it would be a massive shame if it continued to digress as it currently is. But just quickly moving on to our next topic, I just want to briefly touch on our transfer business, because this is of course deadline day on Tuesday, where Sky Sports make a meal out of every little deal that most people wouldn't really care about. So we'll just ask what your club's perspective are on the day. Do you think that you're expecting much business either in or out? We'll start at Wolves with you, Thomas.
I think there's a few things possibly bubbling under the surface that might come to fruition. One of them is the deal to make Helder Costa's loan from Benfica permanent. We're the only club in January who were able to buy him. So that means we've got the edge over a number of Premier League teams who I know have been monitoring what he's been doing at Wolves, and we'll probably be able to afford him without, you know, drastically affecting their other plans. So I'm hoping that comes to fruition. There's been talk that we're just buying him now with the hope of turning that into a profit in the summer. So buying him for 13 million quid, you know, and then selling him in the summer for something like 18, 20 million, something ridiculous with all the money that's going on in the Premier League. So that looks like it might happen if local press is to be believed. We're also interested in Ben Marshall from Blackburn. That's been going on all month. And the situation there seems to be that his contract's up in the summer. Wolves have said, we'll pay you some money. Blackburn have said, we want this amount. And they've just been haggling over the cost, whereas Wolves now have offered a fee, and they're just saying, well, we'll take him in the summer for free if you don't accept this now, because obviously our position in the league is such that it won't really make much difference whether we get him now or in the summer. And then today I noticed we've been linked with the, is it Grant Hanley, the defender at Newcastle who signed from Blackburn in the summer? We've been linked with
Ryan. Yeah, I saw that as well, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, there's three players there. All would probably represent decent acquisitions for all. So yeah, so I think there's something will be happening, but just a case of whether any of those actually get over the line.
Yeah, same question to you, Kevin. Do you expect much going on at Leeds? I know you spoke earlier about Gary Monk sort of sending a message to the chairman and the owner about how he needs players. Do you think that he will get some?
I don't know if he'll get some, but he definitely needs it. After losing Mowat to Barnsley, he's one of our academy players, only 21 years old. Can't really get into the team at the moment because of Hernandez and Roof playing in the position that he likes to play in. So I think he was a bit surprised from the press conference that he gave last week that he was moving on without actually anybody else coming in first. And we've been linked with a few players over the last few weeks. Canos from Norwich is one of them. He used to be at Liverpool, but Brentford are after him as well. And that depends on the Scott Hogan deal going through to West Ham. If Payet leaves for Marseille, they'll put in a money bid for Canos. But obviously that'll leave Fletcher available because West Ham will have enough forwards then. So we're linked with Ashley Fletcher, who's seems to be the main guy that seems to be coming in as cover for Chris Wood, or even to get a starting place in the side. So he's one to look for, and Canos maybe as well, but I think he'll go to Brentford. We still need a centre-back because we can't rely on Bartley and Janssen finishing 18 games that are left without a suspension or maybe an injury. We've got Liam Cooper, who was sent off today in the second half, so he's going to miss a game anyway. So we definitely need a centre-back who doesn't mind being second fiddle to Janssen and Bartley. So, you know, will a player be keen to do that? And obviously, one of my hopes for is Robbie Keane is obviously still looking for a club as well. Why don't we just say, come on, Robbie, there's 18 games to go to the end of the season. You know, get your shooting boots on, get us a few goals, help us get promotion, and we'll sort something out in the summer. So Robbie Keane, for me, would be a fantastic player to join us. He used to play for us back in the 90s. He was always popular. He knows where the goals are. A bit similar to Defoe, I think. You know, he's quite prolific when it comes to goal scoring. I think he'll do really well in the Championship. If a Premiership club doesn't come in for him, he's 36 years old now as well, so it's unlikely that a Premiership club will be that bothered, I should imagine. I think it's just ideal that if he comes back and finishes off a job that he started way back and maybe helps us get promoted, and obviously it'll go down in the annals of folklore if he gets us promoted to the Premier League this season. So that for me would be my wish, but obviously I think we could be may have to settle for Fletcher, which I'll be quite happy with, and maybe another as well. But we need to replace Mowat, who's gone to Barnsley too. So we need at least three players in. And I'm sure Jim White will keep us informed on Tuesday night if that's going to happen.
Robbie Keane's an interesting one. We had James come on last week, I think it was, and he was talking about Robbie Keane as a potential target for Preston. And it sounded like there'd been talks there. So it'd be interesting if he does look up.
Watching Soccer AM, when he was a guest on Soccer AM last week, somebody did whisper Preston when they said, you know, is any clubs interest in you? And he says, you'd have to wait and see. And somebody sort of whispered Preston as if they were the club that he's been talking to. So there might be some truth in that. But like I say, I'll remain to be seen what happens by Wednesday morning.
Yeah, for Newcastle, we'd expected a few additions this month. We've yet to have any, but I think that is more to do with the January market than it is to do with the board not backing the manager. I think they've tried to get players. Tom Kearney was one. Their fee was too high. There's been others that, you know, terms hadn't been met. Ruben Loftus-Cheek was a target on loan. So was Fabian Delph, but Chelsea and Man City don't want to let him go, so we just haven't been able to get anybody. I think Rafa still wants to bring a couple in. Whether he'll get them or not is another question. Andrews Townsend is one that refuses to go away. Talks continue, trying to bring him back on loan with a view to a permanent in the summer, but Palace only want to sell him. There's still a few fees to be paid back to be paid to Newcastle from Palace, so it could be that something's arranged there. So that Chancellor and Bemba could be going in the opposite direction on loan. Our centre back, who's not been playing too much this season, and there's a general feeling in the fan base that he's more suited to the Premier League than he is to the Championship, purely because the Premier League, you got more time to maybe play your football. It's not as physical as the Championship. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that does happen, because I think at the moment I'd prefer to see Townsend than Mbemba in our squad, although I would rather have both, because I think Mbemba has a lot to offer in the long term. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. And there's been talk about a bid for James McCarthy from Everton. I think he fits a lot of what we really need in our centre midfield next to Shelby. I think he'd be a very good signing if we were able to get him, but it seems like it's a difficult one to do now. 15 million was mentioned, and maybe more, so I don't know if it's really worth doing that deal now. Then we've probably got enough. Even if we didn't bring anybody in, we've probably got enough to still get promoted, so there's no need to make any rash decisions, but I think Townsend coming in would be good. I don't know about departures. I know you mentioned Grant Hanley there, but if we do get rid of Mbemba, I don't think we'll get rid of Hanley as well, because then we'd only have two senior centre-backs, and that would be a little bit foolish. I don't think Rafa would do that, would allow that. So maybe that's one that will happen if Mbemba stays, but I don't think both of them will leave. Maybe one, but definitely not both. So I'd like to see Townsend come in, but if nobody comes in, there's no need to panic. The culture in football, especially on Twitter and things, a lot of football fans just want instant gratification. They just want to bring in new signings every window. They want to see their players. They want new players coming in all the time. And if you do that, you're just collecting players. You can't just collect players. You've got a squad of players that is as it is. So there's no need to panic. And you know, if we don't bring anyone in, I think we'll be fine. But just moving on to player watch, I just want to ask you who impressed and disappointed in your club's most recent fixture. I'm sure this will be a lot nicer for you to talk about than us, Thomas. So who impressed for you at Wolves? I'm guessing nobody disappointed.
Yeah. Very difficult to single out an individual after that team performance at Liverpool. But obviously, your eyes are always drawn to a player like Helder Costa. I don't know if either you saw the game, but he's put a great free kick in for the first goal inside the first minute for Richard Stearman to head in. That gave us the foothold we needed right from the start. He then had won the ball back on his own penalty area, ran the whole length of the pitch, and only a toe-end tackle from a Liverpool defender stopped him scoring what would have probably been the goal of the season, certainly the best goal of the season in the FA Cup. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, he does exactly the same thing, except he squares it to Vyman, who scores the second goal. So I think Helder Costa is a wonderful player. If we can get this deal done for him for 12, 13 million quid and somehow get to keep him next season, when I do expect us to be challenging for the top six, then that would be a wonderful piece of business. But I just don't see it. I can't see that there's not some other club in the Premier League thinking this guy is probably worth a gamble. So he was probably my star man, but I could pick anyone out. I think I'd give a quick shout out to the three midfielders, central midfielders, Edwards, George Saville and Lee Evans. Just fantastic. Gave us that shield in front of the back four, which just meant that the likes of Wijnaldum and Coutinho and Sturridge just couldn't get into those pockets of space around our penalty area and get shots away or direct passes through. And that was ultimately what stopped Liverpool from actually getting themselves back into that game. So they were fantastic. And no, I'm not going to pick anyone out as a disappointment this weekend, because it's not fair on anyone. There were no disappointments.
Just to swing that question back around, was there anybody on the Liverpool team that sort of disappointed or that maybe you expected more from?
No, do you know what? It was actually some of the Liverpool performances. The problem with a lot of them, I think they played within themselves a bit. I think Wijnaldum, who you obviously know a lot about, I just thought he looked fantastic. He was a fantastic like physical specimen. He was just stronger and quicker to a lot of the balls, and his turning and his ability to just control the ball and pick passes and play. I just thought eventually, as the game was going on, that he would try and take it more responsibility on himself to try and get forward and make something happen. I think just a few of them, like Firmino's and Coutinho's, they just seem too happy to take a simple ball. I know it's not easy when Wolves bank up with two lines of four and five in some cases, But I was just surprised that they didn't really try and like directly penetrate through those lines a bit more. So, you know, I suppose the biggest disappointment was probably Coutinho, because when he came on, I thought we're probably going to get into a bit of grief here. But for some reason, Klopp played him much deeper than you used to seeing him. So he wasn't able to get on the ball right on the edge of our penalty area and find the spaces to get shot away, which could have been the difference. So so I suppose the biggest disappointment was Klopp, because I think he underestimated us badly. I think he thought we were just another Plymouth, and he was punished for it. And I don't think he really showed us enough respect in his lineup, or how he even spoke about Wolves ahead of the game. He sort of talked about us as being long ball merchants, and so I don't really feel like he prepared for the game as he should have done. And I don't think he equipped that team well enough to go out and get the job done. So, Jurgen Klopp, the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, some interesting comments on Wijnaldum, because for me, Newcastle, just to take a sideline here, from what we're really meant to be doing, for Newcastle, he was a very talented, probably our best player, but the problem with him was his mentality when things weren't going his way, which is why he wasn't really the best player to have in a relegation fight. So I'm not overly surprised that he looked the part, but, you know, he couldn't get his side back in it, because I don't think he has that, you know, mental strength to do that. So that's interesting. Anyway, it sort of backs up something that I've always thought about him. But we'll move on to you now, Kevin. If you want to talk about your week as a whole, a player that impressed and disappointed over the two games.
Well, from today's game, so nobody really stood out. But Billy Whitehouse, it was his first game. And to say he's never been near the squad before, I think he did okay. Maybe could have had a penalty in the second half as well, but the referee played play on. But he's 20 years old now as well, and a player like Ronaldo Vieira is 18. So, and he's been outstanding for us all season. So I don't think he'll be playing regularly for us for a good while now. I think that, you know, it's unfortunate that he had to play in a game that people are going to sort of remember for the wrong things. A big shout out to Malik Wilkes, who came on for 15 minutes at the end, and he did as much as he could do, considering he's had a terrible week personally, because his brother was shot dead during the week in the Leeds area. So for him to be actually be in the squad, it was amazing, and to come on and play 15 minutes when obviously he's had such a tortuous week. I think it says a lot for the boy that, you know, he put in a good effort, and obviously he wanted to play, he wanted to be in the squad. So hopefully his career will get back on track after the events of the week, and hopefully he'll do well long term. But commiserations to the lad, and hopefully things will get better. But on a positive note, obviously during the week, Chris Wood, 20 goals already this season, which is fantastic. I think Ross McCormack might be the last player that got 20 goals for us in a season. So to get 20 goals and still 18 games to play, I think that's an amazing achievement by him. And he's been awesome for us all season. And obviously Dakara's goal, second goal against Forest, which for me is, I could watch it, you know, every day, basically. It's such a fantastic effort. So those two were highlights, obviously, and hopefully when we play Blackburn Wednesday and we've got a full strength team back out, we'll get back in the swing of things in the league as well.
Yeah, for Newcastle, it's difficult to pick a player that impressed. I guess if I was pushed, I'd probably say Dan Barlaser had a good game in centre midfield. He's a youth graduate. I've seen him a lot in the reserves. When I lived in Newcastle, I watched him a lot, and he was, you know, very, very good at that level. And I'm not surprised to see him now in and around the first team. He wasn't great, but he showed enough that I think he's a bit of a player, and he can play a part in the future, which is always good to see a player come through the ranks and get a chance in the first team. For disappointed, I mean, you could pick several. I think it's more the attacking players that may be disappointed more than the defensive ones, despite losing 3-0, because the two goals were late, and I think it, once the second one went in, maybe the effort level was dropping, and that's why the third one went in. So I'd probably say, I spoke about him a bit earlier, Aleksandar Mitrovic. I do like him, but I'm beginning to find myself, you know, questioning whether he is the player that I think he is. It's too easy once you start, like, if you do think, you know, a player will be good, it's too easy to give him to make too many excuses for him. But you know, he's 22 years old. He had several chances, good chances as well. A chance that you'd expect a £15 million striker to put away, and he did not do so. He then just stepped up and missed the penalty. So yeah, that's probably the game changer moment. If that goes in, it's a different game. So he's probably the one that disappointed. But I still think he's got something to offer in as well. But he needs to start showing it soon, or you know, he's going to have to be moved on. But yeah, just before we wrap up, we'll just quickly preview our midweek games. Wolves have got a trip to Barnsley, you know, a team that have been selling a lot of players, but have made a couple of good signings recently as well in Matty James and Alex Mowat, as Kevin was saying. So we'll see how that. How do you see that one going, Thomas? Do you think that Wolves can continue their good run and get a win there?
Tough game, definitely. I think Barnsley have had a fantastic season, selling some of their best players now. I mean, they sold one of their defenders to Swansea in the summer, didn't they? And then I think two or three have gone out this month. And that's it must be disappointing. I mean, I know Barnsley are, with all due respect to them, they're a club of a certain size and they're always susceptible to having their best players taken away. But it must be frustrating because they had a pretty good chance of staking a claim for the playoffs and climb up, and then probably still think they can do it with the players they've brought in. I'm just hoping that Wolves can cash in on the sort of this interim period while they're still getting those new players bedded in, and you know, it might not be quite slotting together as a team. So it's a bit of a lottery. I don't know what Paul Lambert will do in terms of our team. I think he'll probably make quite a few changes to the team that, you know, put so much in at Anfield. Seems unlikely he's going to pick anything like the same 11 again. So you're talking a real lottery. I think how Wolves have been playing in the last month, it's the first time in a while I'd say we're in a false position. I think we're probably a top half championship team the way we're playing. But that is a notoriously difficult fixture for us. So my gut instinct is that it will probably be a draw. But you know, it could go anyway. I don't really have a strong gut feeling about any Wolves match at the moment, so I can't really give any genuine insight. You know, we've got to try and win every game because every game is winnable in this league, and we need two or three more results to get us up towards mid-table, so we don't have to start keep sweating about what's going on behind us. But whether we get that in this one, I'm not sure.
And Leeds have got a trip to Blackburn. You've spoken about it a bit this evening, Kevin. How do you see that one going? Do you think Leeds will return to winning ways?
I'm hoping so, because obviously Blackburn are still bottom three, but they have managed to do the double over Newcastle, so they've got to be taken seriously, I suppose. They seem to sort of play well against the maybe stronger teams, you could say, really. But we have beaten them twice this season already in the league and in the League Cup, so we need to win, really, after Sunday to get the fans back on side, because the fans aren't very happy about today's situation and the sort of team that was picked. Not necessarily blaming Monk for it, but just blaming the club as a whole for not having a stronger squad, I suppose. But yeah, getting back to winning ways, I'll be there on Wednesday night as well. So I'm looking with about 6,000 Leeds fans. So we're looking to bounce back. If we get a decent performance out of them, yeah, we'll be back on track for at least the playoff position. And that's the main aim this season, to try and get promotion. So we've got to look at Blackburn, who are, despite some fancy results this season, they're still in the bottom three, still struggling. They've got obviously issues with the owners still as well. So there's a lot of off-field stuff going on at Blackburn. So we've got to go down there, put in a professional display, and just come away with the 3 points and move on to the weekend.
And finally, Newcastle got a home game against QPR. We beat them 6-0 earlier in the season at Loftus Road. It's a different manager now, but you know, they're not a team. They're one of the teams in the Championship this year that every game they go in, you know, it's difficult. They have a difficult task of winning. They struggled against Burton at the weekend. There seems to be like three levels in the Championship, maybe four if you want to put Brighton and Newcastle on their separate one, although I wouldn't. You know, you've got the top eight, I think, and then you've got the mid-table, and then you've sort of got the bottom six or seven. And you know, the bottom six or seven, they do get a few wins, but on the whole, you can sort of predict that they're going to lose most weeks or at least struggle. So, I mean, we've had James on this podcast quite a lot talking about QPR, and he's not the most happy about how things are going. He's a bit bored at QPR and the way they're run and things like that. They've had a few decent results recently. I mean, maybe I was being a bit unfair there. They've picked it up. They've got some good wins, but I still don't think they're a team that should be causing us too many problems. That said, Blackburn have beaten us twice, so I should be taking this a bit more seriously. It'll be interesting, but the fact that we've got Shelby back from suspension, we've won both the games that he's played, and we scored 7 goals. So, you know, that sort of shows how important he is. He'll be back in the team. We'll maybe see Darren Murphy get another game before Dwight Gayle comes back. I'm not sure if Gayle will be back for this one. I don't think he will. So, you know, I think we'll win it. Of course, I have to think we'll win it. But, I'll say we'll win. But 1-2 I don't expect it to be amazing. I definitely don't think it'll be 6-0. Again, I think that was a one-off. I think we'll win, but it won't be too exciting. But, yeah, with that, we're out of time. So if you guys would just tell people where they could reach you or any projects you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Yeah, as I say, my name's Thomas. You can get me on Twitter at WolvesBlog. That's my handle. And unimaginatively, as I say, the site is called WolvesBlog.com. And also on Facebook, Facebook.com/WolvesBlog. So it's all pretty straightforward. Thank you for having me on. Really enjoyed it, as always.
Yeah, Kevin, you can follow me on Leeds_Mad on Twitter. I do an occasional programme on Sky Channel 117 on a Friday, 7 o'clock, all Leeds, aren't we? A programme made by Made in Leeds. And I appear occasionally on Radio Yorkshire, giving my opinion on the week at Leeds United. Another great podcast. Thanks for having me on, guys, and looking forward to the next few weeks of the season.
Yeah, and you can get my Twitter account at Jake Jackman with 2 N's. I write for various sites, EPL Index and the Boot Room, and anything else I do, I'll post on there. So give me a follow there. And I just want to thank Thomas and Kevin for coming on this week, and thank you guys for listening. And we hope you join us again soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.